And good morning. Welcome to Health Essentials. It's pretty obvious. I can't discuss 100 different topics on a Saturday morning. I can choose like one or two, and you can tell me what you're interested in by making a phone call. If you want to know what the number of the station is, it's 903-586-5257. I'd like to think that if you've tuned in this program, you're voting to improve your health. That's a good thing. Every time that you drink a glass of water or herbal tea, you're voting to improve your health. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
I got to shut that radio off. That stupid radio. Well, good morning, Dr. Morgan.
It's not the radio that's stupid. Anyway, go ahead.
Pardon me, operator. Static on the line.
That's all right. You're good.
I've got a friend up in Indiana. In fact, she used to be my dear sweet ex-wife. Well, she is my dear sweet ex-wife.
Okay.
She's bipolar, has been for a while. Trying to get off of lithium and, what did she say, Lamborghini or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she said she's been off Latuda for 5 days. She wants to get off all these meds. She's tried this several times.
Right.
Throughout the history. And she also has candida gut, she said.
Yep, I believe it.
Okay. She wants to know, can she detox off of these and get rid of that gut at the same time? Because she's tired. She's about 40 pounds too heavy.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily going to be the easiest explanation. But let me have a go at it, okay?
Oh, please do.
All right, number one. When you look at long-term studies on people that have severe bipolar disorder, I'm just kind of choosing the word severe because I always think if we can tackle the severe ones, then the mild ones are like downright easy. It's like a cakewalk. So, yeah, and I'm so sympathetic, but you know what? I got a lot of respect for you. I know you want me to talk about her, but you are. You're bending over backwards trying to help somebody that maybe on one level has done you wrong. Or maybe it didn't work out the way it should have because of a mental health issue. So, I love you, man. You're fabulous. So, let's just tackle it.
That's why I called you. I love the way you talk.
Well, you're kind. Thanks a bunch. When you look at records on people that admit to the emergency room for mental health issues like a severe episode of bipolar, they're just almost non-existent when the water is really rich in minerals.
Okay.
And one of those minerals that's in water sometimes is called lithium.
Right.
It is no mistake that they use lithium carbonate to treat bipolar. Some of the earliest studies shows that lithium, which is an element that can be found in the soil, and I'm trying to think, it's either the split pea. Have you ever heard of split pea soup?
I sure have.
Well, supposedly the split pea is going to be one of the most fabulous sources of lithium of all time, and so a lot of the supplement manufacturers, all they're doing is they're just taking split peas and trying to concentrate them in a capsule so they can give somebody a little bit of natural lithium that comes from the soil. And so there's something about the split pea. Its root system is able to just uptake whatever the lithium is in the soil and concentrate in the pea. How it does that, I knoweth not if. Only God knows. But it doesn't change the metrics. And so when you start giving people rich minerals, you start transforming and changing them. So one of the things that I would do with her is I would have her purchase what's called Celtic or Celtic salt.
Okay.
Celtic.
Okay.
And what she could do is she could take like just a quart jar of water. You got to make sure the jar is clean. It can't still be full of, I'm just joking about that. You can take
dirt.
A quart and you have dirt, dirt or vinegar or whatever else it may. But if you take an empty quart jar of water, pour some clean water in it, I would probably say she needs to start somewhere around a 1/4 to maybe 1/2 teaspoon of Celtic salt and just stir it in there. Of course, Celtic salt, it looks like wet, gray, dirty sand, and you'd look at it and say, I'm not putting that salt in my body, but I'm telling you, the stuff is so good for you.
Oh, yeah.
So if she would stir that in, the next thing that I'm going to recommend, and there's a lot of variations to this, just whatever your imagination comes up with, but if you could get some just frozen Concord grape concentrate, you know, grape juice concentrate?
Oh, yeah.
The reason that I like the frozen stuff is they haven't cooked it or pasteurized it, because when you start cooking stuff, you can change, you know, the life force or the nutritional quality of it. So I like the frozen stuff the very best. Well, the best would be if you climb to the top of the pine tree and find some muscadines, but they're not exactly ready right now for you to eat them.
Muscadines.
But anyway, if she would take like about 3 to 4 spoonfuls of that grape concentrate and stir it in there, now we've got a whole different equation here. We've got something that can start to gently clean her brain and purify her blood, but this is going to be one of the best ways that we can actually rehydrate all her brain cells in the lining of her gut.
Okay.
Now, I know there's some people thinking, hey, there's a little bit of sugar in there. Isn't that going to upset the candida? Well, the number one purpose of candida, it's the garbage collection system of the body. So I'm not trying to be rude by saying this, but if her diet wasn't so dirty and her gut wasn't dirty, then we wouldn't have the candida there. It's just doing its job. So the way to do this is to clean up the body and clean up the gut, and that'll go away. So that's my sales pitch number one.
Okay.
Number two, you're just going to have to have faith in what I'm telling you. You can look it up. But have you ever heard of an organization called the National Institutes of Health?
I have.
Okay. Well, they have one called the National Institutes of Mental Health.
Okay.
And one of the categories would be bipolar disorder. And I'm just using this as one example, but it's very accurate. There is a mental health issue called schizophrenia. I should have said disease.
Right.
And if you ever come to Jacksonville, there's easily 3 or 4 people that walk the roads all day long that I could point out to you that have schizophrenia. As a matter of fact, some of my patients say, who's that screaming and yelling out there? And I'll say, oh, that's Mr. So-and-so. He's only talking to himself. He's no harm. And actually, the guy's quite brilliant. He could pop any lock you wanted, because I've seen him do it. But he's got schizophrenia.
Right.
So he's having full-on arguments, screaming and yelling at himself. You know as well as I do, there ain't nobody there. But the point I was going to get to, they showed in one long-term study, just investigating, that when there was no consumption of wheat, which wheat is a grain,
right,
there was absolutely no schizophrenia. Now, this is really, really hard for people to process, because, you know, this is a hard thing to process, and I can tell you why. The moment you tell them wheat is the culprit, and that's what's generating inflammation and irritation of the brain, they look at you like, but I don't want to give up my chocolate chip cookies and my donuts and my bread. And just fill in the blank on anything else that's made of wheat. You could say, well, is beer made of wheat? Yes, it is. But the point I'm trying to make is, without these people with bipolar or schizophrenia knowing it, or people with depression, there's like the highest probability that the more sugar and the more grain they consume, they're actually making all these issues worse. And so, like, if we throw candida into the mix, oh my goodness, candida, it's just doing what God designed it to. But the problem is all the waste that it secretes from eating sugar and wheat in the gut is just horrific on the brain. Horrific. It could make a normal person almost go crazy. And so if she was willing to completely and totally give up grain and refined sugar, then we got something to talk about. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, years ago I had this guy come to see me. His name is Tony. And Tony suffered from what's called bipolar. But I tell you what, I liked Tony. Great guy. And I read to him this article. It had just been published. But it was saying they wanted to compare having a good, healthy, disciplined routine against all the drugs they use to treat bipolar. And I said, I'm reading this article. I got to see what this one says. And lo and behold, you already know what I'm going to tell you. It showed when people would get up in the morning at the same time, and they would make their bed, and they would go and drink a glass of water, or they'd brush their teeth, and they would go through the routine of getting organized for work, whether that involved ironing a shirt or preparing their lunch. The people that were the most disciplined with organization, it had more to do with healing bipolar than the drugs did. And I thought to myself, okay, there's more than one way to skin a cat. That's only a figure of speech, by the way. I don't want anybody skinning cats today. And so that came into the mix. The other problem is this. one of the main problems with either depression or anxiety or bipolar is there is a, well, I started to call it a brain structure. Let me say it this way. There's all these midline brain structures and brain nuclei and neurons that are in the middle part of the brain, in the frontal lobe and the temporal lobe, and together collectively, they're called the default mode network. So I don't know if you've ever heard that term before, default mode network.
I have not.
Well, here's the punchline. That is the part of the brain that ain't working right when somebody has bipolar or they suffer from horrific depression or they have just horrible, horrible anxiety. I mean, this is not rocket science. When somebody says, hey, Dr. Morgan, I lay down at 10 o'clock at night and I try to go to sleep and my mind is racing. I can't turn it off and all I really want is I want peace. Or if a man calls me on the phone, he says, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. Well, that's a default mode network. It's overstimulated. It's racing at 100 miles an hour. We've got to slow it down. And so one of the ways to cure this is, number one, you got to get people off the food that generates excessive amounts of inflammation of the brain to stop the overthinking. You think this is easy? It's easy, but it's not easy, because how do you tell a person that's caught in this stuff what to do and have them take it and run with it and implement all these things?
Yeah.
That's where we need people like you to say, okay, let's just tackle this piece by piece. What is the most positive thing that we can do today? And so in my fantasy world, we could put her in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. And once she's in there laying down, we could close the steel door like, you know, a Navy diver that might, you know, have to decompress from the bends, and crank that sucker up with 100% oxygen at 5 atmospheres of pressure. Now, in the real world, I don't have a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, and neither do you. But if I had one, I would do it to try to calm the brain and saturate with oxygen about as quickly as possible. Now, there are what I would call remedies for this. There's one of them in particular I really can't mention on the air. I just don't want to. I wanted to go down that road, but if you call me off the air, I will tell you.
Okay.
But I will not mention it on the air. Just, I don't even want to get into it. But I'm going to tell you this: it is one of the most fabulous natural remedies of all time. I just can't really mention it.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
It's fine. I will call you.
I mean, you know, I would never deprive you of the truth. I always believe, how can you go wrong if you tell the truth, right?
Right.
It's just this version of truth, a lot of people ain't going to be able to handle, because it's going to be completely 180 degrees away from taking 21 pharmaceutical drugs to control and regulate the brain, which is, you know, if you asked me a question, you said, Dr. Morgan, what is the most complex organ system in the body? Well, you already know what I'm going to say. It's the human nervous system and the autonomic nervous system in the brain. It's incredible what that can do. Totally incredible. You know, there's a man I'm thinking of right now. I'm not going to mention his name. I'll say it begins with the letter J. He's probably listening. But anyway, so much of how the body works, or the mind works, is you've got to bring every thought unto obedience. And that is not easy to do. You know what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Bring every thought unto submission, or unto obedience.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is that hard to do?
Oh, it's very, very simple. Everybody can do it like that.
Okay, but it's a challenge, because you got to constantly discipline yourself, and you have to rewire the brain. It is possible, but it's a challenge.
It's a heck of a challenge, believe me.
Well, yeah, and you and I are just being honest. It's just the way it is. What are we going to do? Pretend that we're perfect and lie to you and make you think it's like a piece of cake? No. But all this is doable right here. So this woman could have a brand new life ahead of her, but all we have to do is we have to determine, does she have any food allergies? Now, this is just my opinion. I can't even count the number of people that I've examined that have bipolar disorder, and I've seen mild cases, moderate cases, and what I would call extremely severe cases. As a matter of fact, it wasn't that long ago that I had a woman in front of me that just started screaming at the top of her lungs. And of course, you know what I try to do? I tell myself, Roy, Do not flinch. It's going to be okay. You can handle this. Because what do you do when somebody's just completely lost it and they're out of their mind and they're out of control and they start screaming at the top of their lungs? What I'm really thinking is, how long is it going to take before I'm reported and the police show up wanting to know what's going on in your office, Dr. Morgan?
Oh, yeah.
But it's not me. I have nothing to do with that. I mean, you've seen people behave very, very badly, and they can't help it.
Right.
So if we could totally change her diet, I can tell you what I'd be interested in. If she was willing to experiment with either, and there's a lot of ways to say this, one technique is called fasting. I know you've heard of that.
Yeah.
That is worth consideration for this because that can bring such rabid, rapid. I didn't mean that. But fasting can bring about such rapid change because it gives the brain a rest. It's phenomenal. So she could consider that easily. Number two, it's called a feeding window. If she eats both meals of just meat and vegetables only in a six-hour window, I've seen that cause a great change.
Right.
I am a huge fan of fermented or lacto-fermented vegetables. And you could say, what do you think about Bubby sauerkraut? Or what do you think about wild edible sauerkraut? The sauerkraut that I bought last Saturday at one of the health food stores in Tyler, in the refrigerated section, because that's what I want. I want the raw, wild stuff. I don't want the pasteurized, cooked stuff that has no vital life force. It was apple and cabbage. Fabulous. I love this stuff.
Really?
I could eat a forkful of it every meal, and I'm better off for it. She would be too, so would you. And everybody else listening would be also.
Right.
And so if she can get into a routine, she just got to take a sheet of paper and write down, what's her routine? And that could be everything from wake up, go to the bathroom, drink a glass of water, wash the dishes, make breakfast, comb my hair, brush my teeth. Just go down the list.
Right.
Read the Bible for 15 minutes. Exercise, go for a walk. If she had a routine like that, we'd start to get her out of this pretty quick.
Okay.
I've seen it work over and over and over again. Now, you already know this, but there's going to be a group of people that say, oh, no, you can't do that. That's so dangerous. I'm thinking, how's that dangerous?
Right.
But they need to be on these medications. I'm going, that's part of the problem.
Right.
You're not, because every medication they give for bipolar, every single one of them causes harm to the brain.
Okay.
You don't believe me? You pick any drug they give for bipolar and look it up on drugs.com. You're going to find out real quick they're going down a road of no return where they cause such damage to the brain. What I want to do is I want to find out, what can we do to heal the brain so a person can have a great life?
Right.
Yeah, that's what you and I are doing right now. We're plotting to give her a great life and to bless her and to help her. Which I'm being sarcastic. I know you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you and I are going, okay, what can we do to conspire together? A conspiracy to commit health. It's almost comical, isn't it? But if she could start these things, she could drink two or three quarts of that grape electrolyte water every day.
Okay.
If she wants to put lime juice in it, even better. If she wants to put lemon, probably even better than lime juice. Stuff is phenomenal, but we got to change her chemistry.
Okay. Well, I talked to her last night, and she basically said she does a lot of salmon with broccoli, cauliflower. Sounds like she's eating real good. She's going grass fed, and she eats a lot of butter.
Oh, hey, she's in business. That's great. What great feedback.
Yeah, she says she gets up and about 7:30 or whatever and goes and works out.
Then so, good.
And she says she doesn't quite eat as often and as consistently as she should, but she's working on that.
Yeah, but she's working on it. That's perfect.
We talked about this a while back, and she really, a lot of this, she does a lot of lemon water, she says.
Good. All these are good things. She's doing great.
Yeah, so I'm going to call you and hear about this.
The other remedy that I do not want to mention on the air? Okay, deal. We'll do it, and I'll help you with it.
Or I might have her call you. But anyway.
Yeah, have her call me. All good. I'll tell her just real quick. Now, what she's going to have to do is she's going to have to do her homework. She's going to have to research it herself, study the topic herself. The good thing about this is, and you know, and I think I'm pretty honest.
Yeah, you
number
are.
Number one, we live in America. We have the First Amendment. We have the freedom of speech. I'm not lying to anybody about this stuff.
Right.
I'm going to tell her the truth, but I'm going to do it in a way where she can figure it out herself. And once she figures it out herself, then she can do this. It's very, very easy to do. And she could have a completely different mindset before you know it. And she's going to call you on the phone one day in the near future. She's going to say, you know what? If it hadn't been for your great care and your love, you know how it says in the Bible, love doesn't keep record of wrongs?
Oh, yeah.
And love doesn't seek its own? Well, that's you. You're an awesome dude. But
yeah.
she's gonna thank you, and she's gonna thank God for all these things to help restore her. I don't know how old she is, but let me just guess.
65.
Well, then, for all I know, she's got 30 years of great work and great accomplishment where she can lift up people. And you know what? That may be her testimony.
Right.
What can I do to help other women that are in the same boat as I was?
Right.
You're such a great guy.
Well, I appreciate that. You are too.
Have her call me on the phone, and we'll take care of it, okay?
Okay, but your number's on the internet kind of thing, or is this?
Yeah, just my office number. This number is just the radio station. My office number is 903-586-8114.
Okay.
You know how long I've had that number?
42 years.
Close, 31.
I'm kidding.
Thanks for making me older than I am. That's great. I appreciate that.
Well, no.
No, I'm just joking.
I was thinking you started this when you were about 1 year old.
Well, that's a nice comeback. Hey, have a great day, man.
Hey, God bless you.
All right, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, I think I have this on my phone. I looked it up this morning. Let me see if I can get there. All right, here it is right here. The American Red Cross is refusing to take what's called convalescent plasma from people that have had the COVID vaccine. And why are they doing that? Is because there's a destruction of all the natural antibodies in the people's blood that have had the vaccine. So, you know what? This story ain't over yet. And I'm not trying to be negative about this, but I have zero desire for anybody to get sick or to die or to play out some type of a false narrative that doesn't lead to good radiant health. So, I have to turn my phone off. But anyway, to make a long story short, if the American Red Cross is not going to use the plasma because it doesn't contain antibodies, the antibodies have been destroyed if you've had the vaccine, what does that tell you? What is going to happen to the condition of America if there... Well, I know y'all know this. There are plasma donation clinics or centers all over the world. You know what? When you donate plasma, you really are helping somebody. But one of the components that's found in the plasma is you need what are called antibodies. Antibodies make it possible for the immune system to go after a viral infection, or maybe a bacterial infection, or a fungal infection, like maybe candida, for example, or even assist the immune system in having a better natural killer cell activity to go after cancer. Well, plasma is very, very useful. So now all of a sudden we've got all these people that will not be able to give their convalescent plasma or give it as a donation because it don't work anymore. There's no antibodies. Now, what I'm afraid is going to happen, I don't know this like it's a fact because I'm just an observer. I'm standing back and making observations about what I see in people in the immune system. But you have a God-given immune system that produces what's called natural immunity. And you do that through nutrition as one of the components. I mean, even this morning, I listened to the Radio Health Journal coming down from Tyler to Jacksonville. And they were talking about all these people with kidney problems once they develop, the COVID infection. And the thing of it that's maddening to me is they spend all their time talking about how this is a unique observation. We need to study this and study this. They never talk about what the solution is, though. Never. That's the maddening thing about these. I would rather spend my energy talking about what could you do to help improve the performance of your kidneys. Well, what if you are in kidney or renal failure this morning? What should you do? Well, number one, complaining is not going to do anything. Feeling sorry for yourself is not going to do anything either. Why don't we start tackling this? Like, what can we do to make life easy for the kidneys? And there's going to be a lot of disagreements about this. There's going to be experts that call up and say, Dr. Morgan, did you just recommend somebody eat vegetables? Because we know those have potassium, and when the kidneys are damaged, well, let's check the potassium levels and make sure in the normal range. Okay, I got that. But what if you started, one of the jobs of your kidneys is to help alkalize the pH of your blood. You don't want to wreck your kidneys? Well, what if you've already had the COVID, infection, and now your kidneys aren't working so well? Well, we might want to focus on helping them recover. One of the ways that you might do that is by eating foods that actually make it easy for the kidneys to do their job. So if one of the aspects of the kidneys is to try to neutralize acidic pH or neutralize acid, well, you might want to not eat high fat acid foods. Well, what are those? Well, if you drink Coca-Cola, a Pepsi-Cola, Dr. Pepper, with a boatload of sugar in it, if you look on the back of the can or the bottle, it says it contains phosphoric acid. Well, phosphoric acid is great. If you're a highway patrolman and there's been like a bad accident on the road where somebody hit like a hog or a deer and there's blood everywhere and you might want to dissolve all the blood, then pour Coca-Cola on top of it. That will do it. But in the real world, you're beating the heck out of your kidneys by drinking carbonated beverages. The high phosphoric acid. And it really doesn't matter if it's a diet drink or if it's a regular full of high fructose corn syrup. See there, even I make mistakes. Yeah, but I can recover from these though, can I? But when you eat a high sugar diet, lots of refined sugar, lots of grains, you just make it nearly impossible for the kidneys to restore themselves. I know the temptation is just out there. If you go to, today's Saturday, you're going to the synagogue, and everybody's got cookies and ice cream out there. Well, if you eat that, you're asking for it. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. I have some questions. I have been hearing about this relief factor, and I had rheumatoid arthritis ever since I've been about 39, I guess, and I'm 86 now, but I've had it, I guess, under control, but I think lately I think the weather changes has just driven it crazy.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry about that.
I know. That's all right. I've got some other problems I want to talk about, but have you heard about it? Is it something that would work, you think, or what's in it? I mean, do you know anything about it?
Well, I need to ask a question. Is this fulvic and humic acid?
Pardon?
Does this contain fulvic and or humic acid? Is that what's in it?
Okay. Yeah, that's the thing I don't know anything about. All I've heard is them saying it works wonders for some people.
Tell me what the product is. What is it?
It's called Relief Factor, and I've heard it on the radio that people have.
I don't know what the ingredients are. I'm so sorry.
That's the way it was
If
made.
I knew what the ingredients are, I could kind of conceptually work it out
help,
in my mind.
It?
Well, it would
okay.
be. Actually, yeah. here's what I'll do. Let me just look up Relief Factor ingredients. I'll get off the Red Cross. Yeah, you keep talking while I'm looking it up. ReliefFactor.com.
Okay.
Here I am.
Okay. Well, I was needing to find out about... I also just break out in a sweat for no reason at all. Every once in a while, I can be sleeping and I can do that. I can be working, or else I can be doing nothing. And I don't know, would a UTI do that?
Yep, it really would do that. I'm serious.
Okay, well, I don't have any symptoms.
Well, 60% of all UTIs have zero symptoms, so
okay.
We're still in the ballpark.
Okay.
All right. Let me go back to the Relief Factor just for a second, and we'll tackle
sure.
the rest of it.
Okay.
It contains turmeric, resveratrol, icarin, and omega-3s, and so all those are anti-inflammatories, so it sounds good to me.
Sounds great. Okay. Yeah, I wake up in the night. That's when it bothers me the most is my hips.
Well,
I can lay on one side. Yeah,
well,
I can lay
if
one
you're
side.
Well, hang on a second. If you lay on your hips and that's what hurts, that's a vitamin K2 deficiency.
Oh, my goodness, and I take it.
Well, it takes about, what do you mean you take it? It takes about 1,000 to 1,200 micrograms of K2
okay.
to turn the pain off.
I probably don't do that. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Sure. So I'm doing my job here.
Okay.
I'm trying to tell you what does it take to get, but if the ball and socket joint's hurting, you got to look at K2, and that's almost always very, very low when somebody has rheumatoid arthritis. And so the studies have been done on that. So that would be fine. One simple comment. Resveratrol is that bioflavonoid or compound that's found in the skins of grapes. So if a person wanted to drink like 4 ounces of red wine, that would actually help their body reduce pain. So relief factor looks good.
Okay, well, I appreciate that so much.
Well, here's a testimonial on here from Chuck Norris. It says, since I started taking relief factor, I still don't hurt from Bruce Lee kicking me in the throat 10 times during the filming of Enter the Dragon. I just made that up. So, if you will, that would be fine.
I felt like I've been kicked.
Do you feel like Bruce Lee has kicked you?
I do believe.
Oh, bless your heart. Oh. But you would really benefit any time that, you know, your joints flare up. That's almost always another issue with a leaky gut, and that's what rheumatoid is. The lining of the gut it really is.
I've been working on that one, too. Yeah, I've had a lot of...
We'll get you some of that
sauerkraut. I've been listening to you about that. Yeah,
get you some of that sauerkraut that has shredded caraway apples.
I've been taking Bubby's for, quite a bit. So.
Good.
So that really helps.
And then number two, tell all the people in your life that are stressing you to stop stressing you.
That's a good one. I'd love it.
You're welcome. I hope you have a great day, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. I mean, y'all heard the bad news, didn't you? And I hate to be the one to tell you this, but I'm all about being honest, but Chuck Norris was bit by a king cobra 3 days ago, and here's the bad news. The king cobra just passed away. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Arden.
How are you?
Pretty good. I heard a good report from a friend of mine came to see you last week.
Really?
She was raving about your services. Anyway...
Wait a second. Who would say that? Go ahead.
A very, very sweet lady. Macular degeneration. I'm experiencing that, and I heard you last week. You said yellow
bell peppers. Yes, sir. The yellow ones. Mm-hmm.
What else can I do to just improve the situation?
I know I'm trying to make it sound simple, but the number one reason why macular occurs is you're not getting enough oxygen to your eyes. And so here's the way that I would do it if it were me.
All right.
If you would make it a habit to go for 2 walks a day, if you can, 30 minutes each, that would be one way that you could deliver more oxygen to the macula of the eye. If you can't walk, then spend $40 on a website and buy those exercise pedals that you could just put in front of a chair and pedal away. So if you like to watch television or something like that, you could put on a documentary about the Sahara Desert being super dry, and you can pedal across the Sahara while you're watching it.
Okay.
But in reality, you want high oxygen foods. Those are going to be things like frozen pitted cherries, because I don't think they're available in the store right now. But if you went to the frozen food section, you'd get some frozen pitted cherries, and you could have that for your dessert.
Okay, sir.
Which I think is fabulous. And you can have blueberries.
It's also good for gout, isn't it? It's also good for gout.
It is, yeah. See, that's a good point.
Okay.
And the point is, there's nutrients found deeply in those cherries and blueberries that help heal the body.
Okay, sir.
And so my two favorite vegetables of all time,
all right,
it's going to be kale and Brussels sprouts. And out of all the things that I've tried that comes in a supplement form, there is nothing that is going to beat kale and Brussels sprouts for healing macular degeneration. I mean, if you do the other factors, like deliver more oxygen.
I bought kale, and I can't figure out how to process it.
Well, you got to use butter and maybe a little bit of sautéed onion and just put some lemon juice on top of it, open your mouth, shovel it in, start chewing and swallow. I know, you know I'm joking.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, they do have it in capsule form, if that gives you any ability to be more consistent. So usually I'll do about 6 capsules a day to turn that around. You know what? Can I just tell you from my experience the number one argument that I get? All right. I have people that are basically blind with macular, and they want to argue with me about what exercise is. And I'm saying, all I want you to do is just walk for 30 minutes. And they try to tell me how folding towels is exercise. I'm going, I'm not arguing with that, but that doesn't get any oxygen to the eyes. I'm sorry. And they say, but I watched my dog run around the yard. I'm going, but that does not exercise. Just walk.
I experienced a couple of weeks ago, I had been driving all day, and I got to the big city of Dallas, dusty dark, did not realize that I could not see the exit ramp number signs, and I couldn't read the overhead. Well, I don't know if you've driven in Dallas in the evening at 90-mile-an-hour traffic, but that is a horrifying situation.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. Well, you survived, evidently.
Well, 4 hours later, yes,
well,
sir.
Bless your heart. Yeah, that's kind of a pretty scary wake-up call. So
I had an appointment for my eye doctor, but I canceled it because I want your advice on natural stuff.
Well, yeah, I'd rather focus our attention on what can we do to improve you.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Well,
sir.
Is it wet or dry?
How do I know the difference?
Well, you go to a doctor and they say it's dry macular. If it's wet macular, that means all the vessels are leaking so much it's all gooey in there, like an oozing, you know, bloody scab. Sorry to be graphic.
It's a dry scab.
Yeah, sometimes also I'll use what's called fat-soluble chlorophyll to help the macula to heal very quickly. I just love the idea of minerals like magnesium and zinc. I like hawthorn. Anything that increases oxygen saturation. See, that's where juicing comes in. Juicing is a way that you can actually infuse oxygen into your body just by drinking it, but you got to have a juicer. I like those masticating juicers. If you had a Vitamixer, the problem is if you fall into it while it's running, that's the end of you, because it will completely chew you up and you'll never live again. It's that powerful. But if you had a masticating juicer, though, you could run a little bit of celery, you could run bell pepper, lemon. All those things are blood cleaners. I mean, grapes are so phenomenal for cleaning the blood. Just
I use a lot of lemon. I'm a total believer in lemons.
Good job.
I do my baking soda every night, and I've been doing that for a couple of years.
Well, there you go. You're helping your kidneys when you do that, among other things.
Yes, okay, so I'm going to try these things and cure
that
problem.
Well, I'd love to see that happen. Let's do it.
Thank you, Doc.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good evening.
By the way, I do appreciate you very much for saying kind things. I want to read this to you. In 1957... Dr. Norman Jolliffe, director of the Nutrition Bureau of the New York Health Department, he initiated the Anti-Coronary Club, in which a group of businessmen ranging in age from 40 to 59, they were placed on the prudent diet. Club members used corn oil and margarine instead of butter. They had cold breakfast cereals instead of eggs. What they probably mean is they probably had Fruit Loops instead of eggs. And chicken and fish instead of beef. Now, the Anti-Coronary Club members were to be compared with a matched group of the same age who ate eggs for breakfast and had meat 3 times a day. I know what you're thinking. This is, like, outrageous for people to eat meat 3 times a day, right? 9 years later, when I saw 9 years, I thought, well, that should be plenty of time to figure this out. 9 years later, the results of Dr. Jolliffe's anti-coronary club experiment were published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Hey, I like that. That's a very prestigious journal. Those on the prudent diet of corn oil, margarine, fish, probably catfish, chicken, and cold cereal had an average serum cholesterol of 220. Compared to those in the meat and potato group that were at 250. However, the study authors were obliged to note that there were 8 deaths from the heart disease from heart disease among Dr. Jolliffe's prudent diet group, and there were none among those that ate meat 3 times a day. How do you like them apples? If you'd like to join me on the radio, the phone number is 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. Okay. If nobody calls, I get to do what I want to do. I've got to get a drink of water. This is ridiculous. You're supposed to call and talk while I drink water. Did you know that? Okay, thank you for the break. Okay, here goes. Let me preface this by saying there's no human being that's going to get out of this world without being exposed to toxins. There's no way around that. There's going to be men and women with autoimmune diseases, thyroids that don't work right. They're going to have all these mental illnesses, arthritis, heart disease, just diabetes. It's all the same thing. It's just toxicity. All of it's toxicity. So how do you restore the health? Well, you got to start detoxing. I want to read this to you. I got this from Nourishing Traditions by Sally Fallon with Mary Enig, PhD. And so this is about cilantro. You know why I'm doing this is because I want you to prayerfully, thoughtfully consider this as a way of trying to improve your health, right? Okay. Cilantro is a hardy annual herb. You know what the scientific name is? Coriandrum sativum. You ever heard of coriander? Yeah, that's right. That's what manna is made out of. Manna. If God gave us manna and used coriander, then what is that supposed to tell you? Okay. Cilantro is a hardy annual herb that produces 2 products. One is coriander seed, a spice valued in both cooking and medicine, and the other is the leaves. Known in the Americas by the plant name Spanish cilantro. Yeah, we know what cilantro is. You can buy it at the store for 44 cents for a big fresh bunch of it. Sometimes called Chinese parsley, cilantro actually reached China rather late in history. After a long period of use in Persia and the Mediterranean area, coriander is mentioned in a 16th century B.C. Egyptian medical treatise. That's 16 centuries before Christ, folks. And coriander remains have been identified in the tomb of Tutankhamun. You ever heard of King Tut? The plant is compared to manna in the book of Exodus. There we go. The plant is compared to manna in the book of Exodus and Numbers, and is also frequently referred to in the Talmud. It was extensively cultivated in Persia, where it is still used today in many dishes, whence it spread to India, after finally to China, where it is used liberally in fish and fowl preparations as well as in soups. Now that's probably where I've had my most cilantro, is in soups. Of course, you can cut it up in hot sauce or salsa, I meant to say. Chinese treaties include cilantro among the 5 vegetables of strong odor that are forbidden to monks. Some people do find that cilantro has a soapy taste, but in general, cilantro is widely accepted and liberally used in a variety of refreshing dishes, especially as it is now readily available in the U.S. markets. Cilantro leaves are rich in calcium, iron, carotenes, and vitamin C. It is the C that is most often mentioned in the ancient medical treatises, but recently the leaves have become a source of great interest to holistic practitioners. A Japanese investigator, Yoshiaki Omura, has made the revolutionary discovery that cilantro can mobilize mercury and other toxic metals from the central nervous system if large enough amounts are consumed daily. This makes it very useful to individuals who are attempting to detoxify after the removal of mercury fillings. As detoxification of more peripheral tissues is a relatively straightforward matter, but mercury in the brain is recalcitrant and can remain lodged there permanently. Yikes. I hope you're paying attention. Cilantro is the first known substance that stimulates the body to remove mercury and other toxic metals from the central nervous system and excrete them via the stool or the urine. Dried cilantro does not work, which implies that the active principle is an aromatic substance. Maybe it's that soapy taste. Actually, it's probably the fat-soluble chlorophyll, folks. The heavy metal detox capabilities of cilantro should also make it of great use in the treatment of depression, Alzheimer's disease, lack of concentration, or maybe even ADD. It comes from Nourishing Traditions, in case you want to look it up. It's a good book. I think I paid $10 for mine. I can't remember. I got it from Ida. I'm not saying Ida's other name because Ida's listening right now. But Ida, thank you for selling me your copy of Nourishing Traditions. Now I have one. I had another copy, but it's gone. I ain't ever seeing that one again. But this one, see there? You got to remember, folks, one door closes, another door opens up. Sometimes in life, the things that you think are so bad, they're actually blessings in disguise. There may be a little bit of problem solving in that, but you know what? God is very, very good. That's what you got to focus on when you're going through difficulties. God's got your back. He's going to take care of you. But when it comes to health, you already know that you have a responsibility to take good care of yourself. God's not going to force you to put that Twinkie down. No, you got to put the Twinkie down. I actually have a Twinkie in my freezer at my office right now. Yes, it's a joke, but Oscar gave it to me many, many, many moons ago, and it's still a source of great laughter. You may not know me, but I'd rather laugh than cry. And it's still pretty funny that Mr. Oscar gave it to me. Anyway, it hadn't changed a bit in a long time, many years. Okay, I waited too long to push the button, so you're going to have to hang up and call right back. The number is 903-586-5257. You know, one very simple topic here. I can't stress this enough, but if you live in modern times, you're going to have to do something to help detoxify the chemicals you come in contact with. I mean, there's a lot of professions out there. You're just exposed to a whole lot of toxic stuff. One of them that comes to my mind would be a welder. Oh, where would the world be without welders? The ability to take two pieces of metal, put them together to make a structure, phenomenal. Talk about a skill set. I'm always envious of somebody that really knows how to weld. There's a real art to doing that. I think it's fabulous. Anyway, but welders are exposed to so much toxic debris from those welding rods. Well, have you ever heard of a far infrared sauna? Oh, sure. I have people tell me all the time, Dr. Morgan, I ain't doing that because I don't like to sweat. And I don't want to get hot. But, you know, hey, Mr. Bill, you're going to have to get hot. You're going to have to sweat. The toxins are going to have to come out, but an infrared sauna is phenomenal. Another thing that I see over and over again is just people are continually ongoing dehydration. They are not hydrated well at all. It just goes right through them. So if you drink a glass of water and it shoots right through your body and you're going to the bathroom to pass your urine, you're probably dehydrated. Okay? May not make sense. So let's rehydrate you. Okay, I'm waiting for this line to clear. I mean, I can push the button, but it's just going to go straight to the voicemail. So if you'll hang up and let it clear, we can start up again and I can take your call. They can't hear me. They don't know I'm trying to tell them. This is a live program, but they don't know that. Okay, anyway, I'll just keep chatting along here. Okay. I like this quote right here. Here we go. All right, now it's clear. If you call, I will get the. I'll take the call. Here we go.
Good. Anyway,
all right.
Chatting good. Along.
Okay, that didn't work either. Evidently, it's just going to be the way it works today. When I was a boy, my mother was really, really into reading, and of course, she did that throughout her entire life. A lot of times when my sisters would call me on the phone and say, we're worried about Mom, could you go and check on her? And I'm going, of course I'll go and check on her. That's great, I'd love to. Well, I'd find her. She's always reading outside. She spent a lot of time outdoors. You know, maybe that's one point of health that we need to consider. We don't spend enough time out in nature. I talked to a woman the other day and I asked her, how much time do you spend outside? And I thought to myself, that's probably about as much time as it takes to walk from your front door to your car and get in and go. Spend time outdoors if you want your body to heal. Put your bare feet on the ground. Yes, even if your feet are killing you and your feet hurt, put your feet on the ground. You know as well as I do that when you were a kid, you ran up and down the rocky gravel roads and never even missed a beat, even though you're barefooted. You put your feet on a hot asphalt, probably tar was like boiling as it squirted up between your toes, and you never missed a beat. Yes, your feet were black and dirty, but you also had them so conditioned where the bottom of the soles of your feet were thicker and hardier and stronger. Now that's health right there, baby. And when you pulled weeds in the garden, you never wore shoes out there. You went barefoot. You can't keep kids in shoes. That's the way it should be. You think that Moses wore shoes all day long, or Aaron had shoes on his feet all day long? Do you think Jesus always wore shoes? No way. If you want to overcome a neuropathy where you have burning, painful, tingling, numbness, severe pain, then you're going to have to walk barefoot. Hey, fine, it's your choice. Do what you want to do. But if you want to tell your body to start rejuvenating nerves in your feet and arteries and veins and lymphatic, you're going to have to walk barefoot. What's your starting point? Well, go fold open the lawn chair, sit with your bare feet on the grass or the dirt, and read a book. I know you've heard this so many times. There's only two ways to regrow brain cells. That's the only play we got today, folks. You got a health problem. Maybe your mind is not as sharp as it used to be. Maybe you're suffering from some degree of dementia or memory loss or cognitive decline or Alzheimer's or lack of motivation. You're going to have to get the ball moving in the right direction. And so you've got either A, exercise. Let's face it, we're not working on the farm anymore. It's not like I'm going to be stacking hay all day long by being outside in the hay meadows. I'm not. Neither are you. Well, some of you might be. I mean, you might be shoeing horses all day long ago. That's because you're a farrier and you're doing what you love, which is great. But for everybody else, unless you exercise, you cannot regrow brain cells that have been damaged. You can't replace the broken, damaged ones that are diseased. And if you try reading and writing down what you're learning, now that's called novel learning right there. So that's it right there. Every one of you listening this morning needs to grow brand new brain cells. And you can accomplish that by learning something new. You know what? One of the aspects of this is it can be just really, really uncomfortable to tell a person they need to read or study something. can be super uncomfortable. And you find out real quick, people are creatures of comfort. Now, they'll play endless hours of video games, and they'll watch endless TV, but you know what? That really didn't take much mental energy right there at all. But what if you try to tackle a topic you don't know anything about? What if you were, let's just say, for example, reading about, let me see, what's a good topic? For example, forensic accounting. Trying to figure out how does that work? Well, if you've never done that before, it's going to be like overwhelming to you. But God designed your body to serve you. You're the general. You tell it what to do. If your body says, I can't get up out of this chair, you say, no. You will obey me. You will get out of the chair. You know, it only takes a little while of sitting in a chair before your body becomes so tired and you lose so much of your muscle mass and you become so weak from disuse that you're going to go downhill. I know you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. This is how we learn. I'm also talking to myself. So don't think I'm trying to preach to you. I'm preaching to myself and talking to myself in a positive way also. The number one predictor of how long a man's going to walk the earth is how physically strong he is. Same is true for a woman. This is not brain surgery, folks. If you become weak, you make it very, very hard for the body to repair and to heal itself. You've got to fight this. You cannot sit in a chair 24 hours a day and expect magically for strength and balance and athleticism to come back to you. Nope, you're going to have to earn every bit of it. So get up and get moving. Stop the excuses. You're only fooling yourself if you make an excuse. Okay, you want me to give you some excuses? Okay, here they go. The weather. Okay, we're not in charge of the weather. What are you going to do? I went for a walk the other day in the rain. You know what? I had to dive into the ditch because a truck nearly ran over me. I can tell you what the guy was doing. He was on his cell phone. But he ran right to the edge of the road, and I said, hey, Roy, do you want to live? And I said, yeah. Took me about one nanosecond. And so I dove into the ditch. You know what? It's just the way it is. Make your body work for you. Walk. If you just committed to walking, you can transform your body. You can. I think I'm officially out of time today. It's been good to be with you. Lord willing, I will return this time next week, and I'll be all yours.